right. Well, let's talk about some money. It's starting to get personal, isn't it? In our study together last time, we talked about choosing a lifestyle. And we came to the understanding that the money we receive should be used to accomplish two things. It should be used, first of all, to supply our needs, but also it should be used then to glorify God. That's the two ways that our money is to be used. But the question that we raised was, if God allows us to receive more money than what we actually need to supply our needs, then what do we do with the surplus? Do we raise our standard of living to an excessive, exorbitant kind of a thing? Or do we simply increase what we're doing for God with that which He has entrusted to us? That's something each one of us has to pray about, think about on our own, see? And follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let me just remind you of the biblical principle that is given in Luke 12, verse 48, unto whom much is given, little is expected. No, unto whom much is given, much is required. The more God blesses us with, the more He expects from us. And so choosing a lifestyle is a very important decision that we need to carefully and prayerfully think about and consider. And of course, the wise man is the man who will invest the surplus in things spiritual. That's the wise man. Bottom line, the wise man is the man, instead of using the surplus to be extravagant and self-indulging, he's going to use the surplus, investing it in the work of God and actually laying up treasures in heaven and things that are eternal. But today we want to deal with another subject, which is the subject of debt. The subject of debt. And we stated last time that when it comes to choosing a lifestyle, many people will fall into this very serious trap. This trap of indebtedness or borrowing. And the reason is because when people choose their lifestyle, many times they will choose a lifestyle that they were used to at mom and dad's house. And so when they go out on their own as a newly married person, they want to continue to enjoy the lifestyle they had at mom and dad's house, but they fail to remember that mom and dad spent 25, 30 years amassing what they enjoyed. They didn't have it overnight. But many times we want what we have been used to, and in order to get that, we have found that there's this little thing called a credit card. And we build a lifestyle that is based on borrowed money. And I just want to tell you something. Borrowed money is exactly that. It's not your money. It's not your money. It's borrowed money. And because it's borrowed money, there's going to come a time when somebody's going to want it back. And they're going to come knocking on your door, you know. It's pay time. It's pay time. And yet we're living in a day when living on borrowed money is becoming easier and easier and easier. But let me just say to you, it is never wise. It's never wise. Now, with that in mind, three points that I want us to notice together this evening as we consider the subject of borrowing and going into debt. And I'll just tell you right now, this is not going to be an exhaustive study because you would be exhausted by the time we got done with it. We're just going to kind of hit some high points. And then you can use this as a launching pad for your own study. But let me just give you three things to consider and to think about as we consider the subject of borrowing or going into debt. First of all, I want to mention to you, number one, the nature of debt. The nature of debt. I want you to notice two sides of this point as we think about the nature of debt. First of all, I want us to consider the positive side. The positive side. There is actually a positive side to consider because you see there are some people who have very strongly stated that to borrow money is a sin. Have you ever heard that? There are some who are very strong. They're very adamant. You know, if you borrow money, then you're sinning. You're sinning against God. And the proof text that they like to use to support their position is found in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8, where the Apostle Paul said, "Owe no man anything." And so they take that and right there. See, we're not to owe any man anything. We're not to go into debt. And so that's their proof text. However, if we are going to take a passage of Scripture to use as a proof text, we ought to make sure that we're using the verse in its context so that it proves what we want it to prove. Did that make sense? In other words, when you choose a proof text, you need to make sure that the context is agreeing with your supposition. Owe no man anything. Well, is that talking about never get a loan, never borrow money, never use it? Is that what it's talking about? Well, let's look at the context. If you look at the context, back in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, you'll find, interestingly enough, this verse is not even talking about borrowing money. The context is actually talking about our relationship with the government. Okay? It's talking about our relationship with the government. And the context is that when it comes to our relationship with the government, we are not to owe them tribute. In other words, April the 15th, all right? Pay your taxes. Okay? Tribute. You pay your taxes. We're not to owe them custom. The word custom carries the idea of taxes or duties on goods and services. We call it GST. Okay? GST. We are not to owe them fear. In other words, we are to be obedient to the laws. And we are not to owe them honor. In other words, we are to give to them the respect that is due to them as the leaders of our land. Now, I realize there are times, and it is well noted, that even though sometimes we cannot respect the man who is in an office because of his immorality or whatever reason it may be, even though we may not be able to respect the man, we ought to have the highest respect for the office the man holds. And when it comes to our relationship with the government in regard to taxes, duties, obedience, and fear, we are not to owe them anything. In other words, we're to be up to date. Giving what is required. That's the context of the verse. That's the context of the verse. So there's nothing here about not borrowing money. Besides that, here's another little thought you might want to chew on for a little bit. If borrowing money and using credit are sinful, if borrowing money and using credit are sinful, then why did God give so many clear instructions on the matter? You ever thought about that? I mean, God has given all kinds of instructions about how to borrow, how to lend, all that relationship, you know. You read all about that in the Bible, see. So if borrowing is sinful, then God would have been condoning sin by aiding and abetting the borrower and the lender in their sin. Certainly God would not do that. So the positive side, when we consider the nature of debt, the positive side is simply this. Borrowing money is not sinful. It's not sinful. But we should also consider the negative side. Letter B. While it is not sinful, it's not wise. It's not wise. The story is told of a man who was standing on the ledge of a building. He was about 25 floors up, standing on the ledge. And all of a sudden, the crowd of spectators down on the street gave a gasp of horror as the man stepped off of the ledge and began to fall. Their horror turned to great surprise when, after falling about 20 floors, they heard the man yell, "So far, so good!" By the way, that's not a true story, okay? It's not a true story. But it sure illustrates the way of debt. Because you see, it's very easy to get credit. It's very easy. All you have to do is just sign your name. You get credit. And of course, once you take that leap into debt, the height of your building, okay, before you hit the bottom and reality sets in, the height of your building is what we call a credit limit. That's what's given to you by your credit card company. You have a credit limit. That's the height of your building. That's how far you fall before you hit the bottom. Okay? But then you will find that more credit is very easy to obtain, and so the height of your building and the length of time before you hit the bottom can actually be expanded by getting another credit card here and another credit card there and get one from this bank and that bank and you know. And so you can actually extend your fall into debt. But eventually, reality is going to set in. Eventually, reality will set in. And you'll discover the truth of the words that are found in Proverbs 22, verse number 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. That's the reality. The borrower becomes the servant of the lender. Credit cards are big business. You can buy something now using money that is not yours, and for that privilege you pay the lender a service charge, which is called interest. It's very easy. And people get caught in the trap. People get caught in the trap so quickly because when they receive their statement at the end of the month, those people are so nice. Aren't they nice? They tell you right on the statement, you don't need to pay it all. Just a little minimal amount. Just pay that. It's okay. We don't mind. Sucker. Yeah, they're so nice about it, and they tell you, you know, just make the minimum payment. And by the way, you see something else you really like, and you're just go ahead and buy it. It's just use the card. It's okay. And when you go to the checkout counter at Robinson's or Tang's or wherever you may shop, have you ever noticed how they always say, "Oh, use your credit card, you get a discount." Trust me, it ain't no discount. By the time you get done paying interest, you've paid double what you've saved. Okay? It's no discount. But we're caught in that kind of a society. And so people get caught in this trap. I like the way Dave Ramsey described it. He said, we buy things we don't need, with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. That's what we do. That's what we do. And because people have fallen into the trap of building a lifestyle by using credit, they soon find they're caught in a trap where much of their spendable income, talking about your free money, your spendable income, you find that much of your spendable income is being used to make payments and to pay interest on outstanding debt. Eventually you find, bottom line, that when you go to work, you work so many hours, not for yourself. You're working for the credit card company. You are a servant to the lender. That's it. You are a servant to the lender. Bottom line, when we consider the nature of debt, when we consider the nature of credit and borrowing, we can sum it up with one word. It is enslaving. It will put you in bondage. It'll put you in bondage. That's the nature. Number two, the danger of debt. The danger of debt. Let me mention four areas in which the danger of using credit and the danger of going into debt can be seen. First of all, it is seen financially. Because they are servicing loans and trying to keep up with credit card payments, many people soon find that the amount of income needed to make their basic needs is insufficient. They don't have enough just to meet their basic needs. And they have dug themselves into a deep hole, and so therefore many people then begin to get more credit to try to take care of the hole that they're all, and instead of digging their way out, they're actually just digging their way in deeper. That's the vicious cycle of living on credit. A tragic example of this is actually found in the Scriptures. Look at Nehemiah chapter 5. Pastor Moore will be expounding on this in a couple of years. You'll forget all about this before he gets there. So, Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, here's what it says. It says, "Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses. Why? So we can buy corn." In other words, they are going into debt by mortgaging what they have, getting a loan on assets they already own, and borrowing money using those assets, and they've mortgaged their houses, their land, in order to buy the necessities of life. Corn. Food. And why did they do that? Because there was a dearth, the Bible says. There was a famine. There was a famine. Verse number 4, "There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards." Not only did they mortgage their lands and vineyards, now they borrowed money, putting their lands and vineyards up for collateral in order that they might pay their taxes to the king. So they're going deeper and deeper into debt to buy food. They're going deeper and deeper into debt in order to pay the debts that they have. And they are simply digging themselves deeper and deeper into a hole to the point where Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 5 says that in order to try to get themselves out of this mess, they were actually selling their children to be slaves. In our modern times, We don't sell our children, although sometimes I'll have to confess it was tempting. But I figured whoever bought them would bring them back, you know. But in our modern times, we have manufactured a way to escape from the hole of debt, haven't we? We've manufactured a way to escape from it. We can go to the court and we can declare bankruptcy. I went online just to see what all that involves. This is from a Singaporean perspective. And the website defined bankruptcy in this way. It says a court procedure which once completed allows you to avoid paying all or part of your debts depending upon your financial situation. Depending on the type of bankruptcy you file, there may be a requirement to pay some money to creditors or to liquidate some assets before you can be freed or discharged from your debts. In other words, you can go out, live high on borrowed money, and when you hit bottom, you can renege on all of it, and it's absolutely legal in the eyes of men. Just because it's legal in the eyes of men, that doesn't make it right in the sight of God. Okay? This is not an option for any believer in Jesus Christ. Because here's why. The psalmist said very clearly, Psalm 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Saved people don't behave that way. Wicked people do. Wicked people do. The wicked borrow and pay not again. That's the financial danger of debt. You see, it places you in a financial hole from which it is always, it's not impossible, but it is always difficult to get out of. It can be done. But you have to follow some very hard principles to do it. But it's always difficult. It's always difficult. There's the danger that we see financially. Letter B. There is also a danger that can be seen relationally. Relationally. It has been reported that the leading cause of divorce, this is in the United States, and I'm pretty sure it probably crosses international boundaries, but it said that the leading cause for divorce are financial pressures that are brought on the family by debt. Financial pressures brought on the family by debt. The husband blames the wife. And we all know, well, no, I won't go there. The wife blames the husband. You know? Well, it's because of that new set of golf clubs. You know, and anyway. And then what happens? And then this one. And before, boom. Right? Explosion. Explosion. Relationships are destroyed. Relationships can be destroyed. The danger is also seen physically. It is seen physically. Individuals struggling with the stress of being in debt. And it is a stress. If I owe somebody money, it bothers me. It just bugs me. I know some people, it doesn't bother them. At least it seems like it doesn't bother them. But, it ought to bother you. And the stress of that, causes people to face an increase of serious health problems. You know, stress can kill you. It really can. Including depression, heart disease, and obesity. comes about as a result of being under stress. And by the way, because of the physical problems that they're facing because of their debt, okay, now they're having to pay more money to the doctor to get medicine, which is actually putting them deeper into debt. You see what I'm saying? The danger of it is also seen spiritually. It's seen spiritually. Many times when people are in debt, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Many times when people are in debt, they are faced with the temptation to rob their primary creditor, which is who?
God.
In order to pay their secondary creditor, which is the bank or the credit card company or whoever it is that you are indebted to. In other words, the temptation is to rob God in order to pay men. But as we've noted before, you never get ahead by robbing God, do you? Never get ahead by robbing God. Remember what the Lord God said to the nation of Israel in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 9. He asked them the question, will a man rob God? By the way, notice he didn't even wait for him to give an answer, because the answer is obvious. Yes, men do rob God. They do it all the time. And so the Lord said, will a man rob God? And before even giving them a chance to answer, He said, yet you have robbed Me. And of course, the nation of Israel, wanting to defend themselves and justify themselves, you can almost hear their attitude in the verse where they said, oh yeah? How did we rob you? That's basically what it meant. Wherein have we robbed you? And the Lord's response was, in tithes and offerings. And as a result of that, the Lord continued and said, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed Me, even this whole nation. The curse that God cursed them with was simply this. The curse was that God allowed a devourer. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. God allowed a devourer to eat up their increase. The prophet Haggai describes this for us very well in Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 6, when he said, ye have sown much, but you bring in little. You've sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put in a bag with holes. In other words, the more you try to save and the more you pile in, the more falls out. And you're just losing it all along the way, and you're leaving it behind for somebody else. One writer said it very well when he noted this. Not giving is never a financial solution. It's a source of financial problems. When you begin to refuse to be obedient to God in the matter of giving, you're putting yourself in a very serious position, in a dangerous position. When people go into debt, they're putting themselves in a dangerous position that will have an impact on their lives. It'll have an impact on their relationships. It'll have an impact on their health. It'll have an impact on their obedience to God. That is the danger of debt. Number three. The assumption of debt. You see, When we decide to go into debt, when we decide to borrow money or we decide to use a credit card and to buy something on time, when we do that, it is because of the fact that whether we realize it or not, we are making some assumptions when we do that. Whether we realize it or not, we're making some assumptions. First of all, we are making some assumptions concerning God. We're making some assumptions concerning God. In other words, we are making an assumption that questions, number one, His wisdom. We're making an assumption that questions God's wisdom. Why do I say that? Simply because of the fact Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, "Your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need, that you have need of all these things." Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Right? So you're not going to commit, are you? Yeah, He knows. Okay, I'm just telling you. He knows what we need, okay? He knows what we need. But when we go out and buy something on credit, when we go out and buy something on borrowed money that God has not supplied for us, then we are assuming that He really doesn't know what we need. We are assuming that we know what we need more than God does, and therefore, instead of trusting God's wisdom, we trust our own wisdom, and we go out and secure what God has not provided with borrowed money and by going into debt. See what I'm saying? The assumption concerning God's wisdom. Number two, when we make a debt, we are making an assumption concerning His faithfulness. His faithfulness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things..." Now that doesn't mean the big plasma TV the context defines it for us. It's the necessities of life. But He says, if you'll put Me first, if you'll seek My kingdom and you'll put Me first, then all these things, the necessities of life, will be added unto you. But you see, when we go out and we buy things on credit, and we buy things with borrowed money, it is actually a backhanded slap in the face of God. Because what we're actually saying by our actions is that even though God maybe knew what we needed, He failed to provide it. And therefore, it's up to me. And I have to go out and buy it with money that He has not provided for me. I have to borrow it. There's also the assumption concerning His power. This sort of sums it up. But an assumption concerning His power. You see, when we run out and buy things on credit, it is simply saying, you know what? Here's what I believe. God knows my needs. And I really believe God's faithful. I believe He'll provide my needs. But I also believe God needs my help. And so me and MasterCard, we're going to help God out. And we're going to take care of our needs. By the way, that's the same thing Abraham tried. You remember that over in Genesis chapter 16? God gave Abraham a promise, and Abraham and his wife Sarah, you know, they kind of got to talking about it, and they said, well, you know, God gave the promise, but boy, it's been a long time, and I think maybe we need to help God out. So how did that work out? Do you remember the story? It didn't work out very well, did it? In fact, you know all the trouble they're having in the Middle East right now in 2012? You know why they're having all that trouble? It's because Abraham, thousands and thousands of years ago, determined he was going to help God. It's a serious trap. It's a serious trap. When we go into debt, we make some assumptions about God. But there's another point that I want you to notice, and that is this. When we go into debt, we also make some foolish assumptions concerning self. Concerning self. You see, when you go out and you sign on a paper with the bank or a credit card slip, and you make a purchase on credit, you make a purchase with borrowed money, do you know what you're actually doing? Here's what you're doing. You're assuming that 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now, you're going to have the same job you have now. Right? When you sign that paper, you're assuming that 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to have the same income you have now. Now, I know we all are very much living in hope that income is going to go higher and higher and higher and higher, but you know the reality is sometimes it doesn't go higher. Sometimes it just sits there. And sometimes it goes down. But see, when we go out and we borrow, we're assuming that everything is going to continue as it is now and even get better. That's the assumption. When we go out and sign, we assume that we're going to have the same health a year from now. That we're going to have the same ability to work a year from now that we have today. See? We make all of these assumptions about our future. And that is very foolish, because here's why. Proverbs 27 verse 1, the Bible states, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Truth of the matter is, you have no assurance about tomorrow. We have no assurance of what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. And debt is a dangerous thing, because it makes foolish assumptions concerning God and concerning ourselves. Borrowing and going into debt in order to live a lifestyle that pleases and satisfies our own selfish desires, or that gives us a feeling of value and equality in our community. We call that in the States keeping up with the Joneses. Here we call it keeping up with the Chwas. Okay? Trying to keep up with what everybody else has. I mean, they got it, we got to have it too, right? You know. So we go into debt for that. Folks, that's a game that is foolish. It's a game that is dangerous. It's a game that is dangerous. May God help us to avoid the pitfalls of debt by learning the lesson that is so clearly stated in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. It says, "Let your conversation..." The word could also be translated, it carries the same idea, lifestyle. Let your lifestyle, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Because here's why. hath said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Bottom line, are we going to trust God? Are we going to trust God for His provision? Are we going to trust God for His care? Or are we going to strive to make our own way by digging a hole of debt for ourselves and for our families? It's our choice. May God help us to choose wisely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight.